Praise God for the unfailing love of Jesus. I will apologize in advance for the fact that there will be no cake baking today. I appreciate the fact that you are here, even though the cake is not. I am excited to get to continue on in this series, and as we focus on the love of Jesus that will never fail us in life. Last week, we got to look into the fact and really dive into this idea that when Jesus died on the cross, the love of God did not fail Jesus, right? There was just one more step that he had to take, right? He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the grave in order that he might be risen from the dead. And now we get to live in that resurrection power as well. We get to recognize that, you know what, our lives might not be perfect, but the reality is that the struggles of our lives are not the end of our story, but rather there's one more step that we can take as well, that we live in the resurrection of Christ. Today we're going to shift this a little bit in our focus here, in that the question I really want us to look at today as we look sort of through the life of Peter is, what do we do when we fail, right? We know that God's love never fails. We know that the resurrection of Jesus is never going to fail us, but what do we do when we fail, right? What do we do when either as believers or not, we don't live up to what we should, right? Maybe we don't live up to the standard of God's word. Maybe we just don't live up to our own plans in life, right? We had some things we wanted to do, but we're not able to accomplish that. Or maybe we just know that there's some things in our lives, some sin in our lives, some choices that we've made that just have led us in a way that makes us feel like we have failed. What do we do when we have failed? Well, we're gonna take a look at Peter and some interaction that Jesus had with him in John chapter 21. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to go ahead and turn there. Let me kind of give you a little bit of a sort of background into where we get to John 21. So obviously Jesus is risen from the dead, right? The cake is out of the oven, right? Praise God. We get to enjoy all that Jesus has for us. And as he is revealing himself to different people after the resurrection, like there's one time where Peter and some of the disciples are out fishing, right? And they had this miraculous catch of fish to the point where Peter's like, that's him, right? He jumps out of the boat, he runs up on shore and everything like that. Meanwhile, everybody else has to drag in all these fish. And they get there, they have this meal together, right? Jesus is actually like cooking it up for him. Everything is pretty cool. So even though I'm not a cook, apparently Jesus was. That's pretty neat. And then Jesus starts to have this conversation with Peter. And as we're reading this, we're going to read this in just a moment. We're going to start in verse 15 here in just a minute. There's when I read, I tend to like, I try to picture things in my head, right? I don't know if that's just because I'm a dude. Like guys are really visual people, right? So I don't know if that's just because I'm a guy, or if other people do that. I don't know if I'm just weird. I mean, I know that I'm weird, but I don't know if this makes me weird, right? And so thank you. And so in that though, I like to try to have an accurate picture of what I'm reading, right? And when I've read these verses in the past, I've always read it as if Jesus kind of pulled Peter aside, like, hey man, like I need to have this conversation with you. But there's nothing in these verses that says that he pulled Peter aside. It's just him and all the disciples sitting around the fire eating fish with Jesus, who was dead a couple of days ago, and he's alive now, right? All right, that being said, let's jump in here. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Pray with me. God, I thank you so much for your presence here among us right now. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. And I thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. And I thank you, God, that we get to live in and experience those promises even right now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth would be yours, God, that your message alone, God, would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that we might all hear from you directly, that your Holy Spirit would continue to stir up our hearts toward obedience to you, God. Help us to have the courage, Lord, to say yes to you no matter what it is you challenge us with right now. We submit ourselves to you, Father. Have your way for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I want to go through this text and in such a way that I want to kind of take it in, In some different groupings here. Let me say it that way, in some different groupings. So the first thing I want to look at are the changing questions of Jesus, right? If you notice, when Jesus started asking Peter questions, every time he came back to Peter, the question changed just a little bit, but it changed every time, right? The first question was, do you, and this is, let me step over here for a little commercial break real quick. We have the word love, right? And for those of you who may have been part of the church for a long time, you know that in the Greek, there's actually several different words, Greek words, for what we translate as love, right? In this story, there's actually two different words. One, which Jesus starts using here, is referring to like unconditional love, like a no matter what kind of love, right? The other is what is referred to as a brotherly love. So it's still a strong relationship, but it is kind of conditional. It's like, well, because we are family, right? Because we've been through some things together, right? And I love you. But it is different. It is nuanced very differently. That's important to kind of keep in mind because that will come up as we kind of weave in and out of this story here. So the first question that Jesus asks Peter is, do you unconditionally love me more than these? Which again makes me think that Jesus didn't pull Peter aside. He's actually saying this in front of all of the other disciples, right? And he says to Peter, do you unconditionally love me more than anybody else here? The second question that Jesus asked Peter is, do you unconditionally love me? He left off the phrase more than these, which is a very different question, right? Because in the first question, it seems as if he's focusing on like almost like a priority. Do you love me more than, you know, everybody else, right? Here it just seems like is this a yes or no? Like, do you actually unconditionally love me, right? Like, forget about everybody else. Forget about where I am on the totem pole. Like, do I even rank, right? The third question that he asked, and here's where he changes that word, right? The third time he asked Peter, do you love me like a brother, right? Which again is very different than what he said in the first question and even very, very different than what he asked in the second question. He's sort of bringing it down each level in terms of the level of commitment that Peter would have to make to Jesus to be able to say yes, right? What I find interesting in all of this is that Jesus already knew all these answers, right? He's Jesus, right? So why is he asking all these questions, right? Jesus loves us enough to really get to what's real in our lives, right? Now, what's interesting here is he doesn't shy away from putting like the way things are supposed to be, what is ideal in terms of a relationship with Peter and Jesus. Like, he puts that out there first. Like, you ought to unconditionally love me more than anybody else. Like, that's where I ought to be in your life. But Peter, the reality is, I know you're not there.
Amen.
Right? I know you're not there. Right? And even when he said, do you unconditionally love me at all? He knew in advance that Peter wasn't there, right? And so then when he asked him, like, do you love me like a brother? He knew already that's where he was, right? And so he created this environment in which he was able to get to what was real in Peter's life. See, many times I think we kind of hold back from God as if that's possible, right? We hold back from God because if we were real with God, we fear that maybe Jesus wouldn't really love us. We hold back from God because if we really took to God everything that we thought, if we really took to and surrendered to God and was open and transparent to God about all that we do, like maybe he really wouldn't think too much of us. Maybe he really wouldn't want us to be part of his church if we were open with him about all that we are and all that we've done. Maybe he would hold back his blessing on our lives if we were really transparent with him about who we were. Who we are. The good news is that the love of Jesus will never fail to meet us where we are.
Amen.
And that is a truth that you can take to the bank. Like, no matter where you are, no matter how messed up your life is, no matter how long you've been walking away from the Lord, no matter how many questions you have, no matter how much doubt may exist inside of you, like, you can trust that the love of Jesus will always meet you where you are. You don't have to clean yourself up in order to go to Jesus. You don't have to become sinless in order to go to him again. If you could do those things on your own, then why would you need Jesus? Right? You don't have to look like a Christian before you go to Jesus. You don't have to sound like a Jesus follower before you start following Jesus. You don't have to do it. Jesus loves you enough to meet you where you are, good, bad, and ugly. Right? And that's good truth. That's good truth. If we want to take that one more step toward Jesus, we've got to trust and believe in that his unfailing love actually wants to be with us no matter where we are, right? Now, the second sort of group of phrases that I want to look at is in regard to Peter's responses, right? So we know that Jesus kind of changed his words for love as he went, but what's interesting is that Peter never did. So Jesus' first question, if you remember, do you unconditionally love me more than these? Peter's response was, you know I love you like a brother, right? That would be kind of like, let me give you an equivalent here. Imagine when you were dating, right? And maybe in that relationship there, one of you was courageous enough to tell the other one first, I love you, right? And imagine the other one looking back and saying, well, I like you a whole lot too. Right? It's funny because you're like, oh, that is not the response that was supposed to happen there, right? See, when we read in our text, do you love me more than these? And then Peter's response is, you know that I love you. It sounds like he's saying the same thing. What he's saying, the difference of what he's saying, though, is Jesus was saying, I love you. And Peter said, I like you a whole lot too. That's very different. That's very different. But that's where he was. I mean, he was, at least he was saying where he was. The second question Jesus asked him was, do you unconditionally love me? Period. Like, at all. Peter's response, you know I love you like a brother. You love me, but I like you a lot. I like you a lot. And then Jesus asked them that third time, do you love me like a brother? To which Peter responded, and actually it says in here that he was hurt by that question, right? Because he asked him that third time, right? But his response was, you know all things. You know that I love you like a brother. Like, you nailed it, Jesus. You know where I'm at. You know where I am. See, one of the things that we have to commend Peter for is the fact that at least he was honest about where he was. He wasn't pretending like things were better than they were. He wasn't trying to just put a face on. He didn't try to lie to Jesus about where he was, as if we could lie to Jesus about where we are, right? Like, he was just honest with Jesus about the fact that he's not there right now, right? He's not there. And again, like, you got to recognize, like, the humbling moment that this is here. If you remember, like, before Jesus was arrested, like, Jesus is telling all the disciples, like I'm going to be arrested and you guys are all going to scatter. And what is it that Peter says? Oh, if I have to die with you, I'm going all the way with you, Jesus. And then it's not before the night is over that he denies him three times. And now, Peter, like, emotional firecracker that he is and everything, right? Like, you know, he was at one time Jesus's literal ride or die, right? And now he's acknowledging the fact that, you know what, I thought I was there, but Jesus, I'm here, and I am here. Like, I know I'm not where you want me to be, but I just need to be honest about the fact that I'm right here. Now, I'm not where I used to be. I haven't turned my back on you, Lord. Like, I'm still with you. But I know I've got some room to grow. Amen. See, if we're really going to receive the unconditional love of Jesus in our lives, if we're going to allow that to change us, if we're going to take that one more step with Jesus, we got to be honest about where we are too. We just got to acknowledge the fact that, you know what? We still have some things to grow in, and praise God that the love of Jesus can help move us from where we are to where we need to be. We don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to feel like there's nowhere else for us to go. Absolutely not. Like, Jesus and the love of Jesus can motivate us on and grow us on to everything that he has for us. That unconditional love more than anybody else, right? To take that next step with Jesus, we've got to be really honest about where we are. I remember I was even just last night in our community group, we were talking a little bit, and we were talking about trust, right? And one of the things I do as sort of a spiritual rhythm and practice is I'll use the Lord's Prayer as kind of a prayer guide each morning, right? And the part of that prayer that has really gotten me here recently is, give us this day our daily bread, right? I used to always think that was about, like, money and resources and stuff, and I'm realizing more and more that it while it does have something to do with that, it's really so much more about trust than it is about money, right? The idea that if I start with nothing, that I might trust God for what I need today. If all I see is lack, right, that I will trust God for what I need today. And one of the things that I was just sharing is that, like I feel this the most, even just in trying to lead my family, right? Like, I want to be a good dad and all this kind of stuff, right? And what I find is that more often than not, I try to take control of situations rather than submitting control to God's Holy Spirit. And that it's so hard for me to let go of that control, right? But what I recognize is, when it comes right down to it, it's a trust issue. God helped me to see that I don't trust him with my kids. It's just a reality. And I have to, if I'm going to grow in this, if I'm going to be an example for my family, if I'm going to be an example for you, then I have to be honest about just where I am. I have to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I want to be super dad. Like, I want to be able to do all these great things. I want to be greatness in my family. But the reality is, I just kind of like them a lot right now, right? We have to be honest and real about where we are, because we can't submit ourselves to God's Holy Spirit in order to lead us to further growth until we're honest about where we really are and what we really need. That's one of the things that Peter showed us very well, is that he was just honest about where he was, and I'm so thankful that he was. Now, not only did Peter have some responses, but Jesus had some responses as well. Every time Peter said, "Oh yeah, I love you like a brother," you know, he came back with, "Well, feed my lambs, and then take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep," right? And we see here that the love of Jesus is never going to fail to challenge us to take one more step in the mission of Jesus. Right? And this is what I want to make sure that you hear really clearly. Because what you heard me say earlier was that Jesus will always meet us where we are. Jesus loves us so much. His love is so unfailing that no matter how much we have failed, no matter how much we have turned our backs on him, he will meet us right where we are. But that is only half of the good news. Because the other half is that he loves us enough that he will never leave us there. I mean, if leaving us there was the goal, then why did Jesus need to die on the cross anyway? Jesus died in order to change us and to make us whole and to give us hope and to give us new life. Like Jesus came to change everything. Why would we want it to stay the same? Right? This idea, and again, I'm going to try not to like church bash or preacher bash or anything like that, because that's not what I want to use this pulpit to do. But the reality is that there is a line of theology that is out there that just simply says, well, God loves you so much that he knows you're going to mess up and do all kinds of crazy things. Like, God knows everything, yes. But that is not an excuse to stay where we are. Show me a single time where Jesus talked to anybody and they felt like, oh yeah, I'm in a pretty good place. Thanks, Lord, for affirming all that. I'm glad I don't have any growth to go through or anything. I'm glad I don't have any steps to take, right? Like, never. Like, there was always, like, this desire for growth. There was always this next step, right? There was never a tolerance of sin. Like, and we look at that as this idea of holiness, right? Like, we understand that Jesus died not only so that we can be forgiven of our sins, but so that we could be set free from it. Like, we don't have to keep going back to sin. We don't have to keep making the same bad choices. Jesus died to make us brand new, right? And in being made new, we don't have to make the same decisions that our old person used to make, right? We can make decisions based in submission to God. God's Holy Spirit, in order that we might live in every fruit of that Holy Spirit. Like, we were destined for the fruit, not for the sin. Amen. The sin is not what we have to go back to. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to set us free from sin and death, in order that we don't have to keep going back. We can live holy lives that are truly dedicated. And that doesn't mean that you're not able to ever sin again in your life. Temptation is real and it's still out there, and we got to make sure that we're sort of on our stuff there and really being intentional to submit ourselves to God in every way. But we can't use that. We can't say, oh well, because I've sinned for a really long time, that means I'm just going to keep on sinning for the rest of my life. I mean, outside of Jesus, yes. I would 100% agree with that, outside of Jesus. But the last time I checked, like, Jesus changes everything. Amen. Like, everything. Like, everything. And so we've got to let him change that in us, too. We need to understand that the love of Jesus, while he does He does meet us where we are. He always challenges us to take that one more step in his mission to feed the sheep and to take care of the sheep and to feed the lambs. Like we've got to make sure that we are taking those steps of growth and mature and spiritual maturity with Jesus. All right, last part that I want to get to here. And this, I want to reread for you verses 18 and 19 out of John chapter 1. So again, John chapter 21, starting in verse 18. It says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Now, here's what I find peculiar about these verses. And that is that at the very same time, Jesus both knew what Peter did and what he would do one day. I want you to think about this for a second. At the very same moment in time, Jesus had access to the awareness both of what Peter did in terms of his denial, right? Even looking Jesus in the face after that denial before he died. So he's holding that, and he has an awareness of what will happen to Peter in the future, of which has not yet happened. He holds those two things at the exact same time. Wow. Jesus, in that moment, has a choice to make as to what it is that he is going to focus himself on. And I don't think we can skip over the fact that Jesus didn't mention the betrayal. He didn't mention the denial. He didn't say, oh, how could you? He didn't say, oh, Peter, I tried to tell you. He didn't. What he focused on was, Peter, like one of these days, there's something coming that you're not going to want. But it's actually going to glorify me, right? And I just want you, Peter, I want you to follow me even still. What I think is significant to recognize in this is that rather than looking back at the failure that should have disqualified Peter, Jesus loved him into the faith to follow him for the future, to live for him, to lead for him, to die for him. Like Jesus could have focused on everything that Peter did wrong, yet he chose to focus on the faith that Peter would live out from that day forward. And it is in that love, that never-ending love that Jesus had for Peter, that I believe actually motivated him to lead the early church and to live out the Great Commission and to be a disciple that was making disciples. Like, I believe it is this moment, this love, this compassion that Jesus has for Peter right now. When he could have chosen to focus on all kinds of different things, in this moment, he chose to focus on the faithfulness that would lead Peter to glorify him. I bring all this up because the reality is that I think we all have things in our lives that make us feel like we should be disqualified. We all have those things that we could look at and say, man, I can't believe I did that. And even if it was a long time ago, like, Lord, like, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I felt that. I can't believe, like, and we look at that, and in our minds, we hold where we were and who we were. Unfortunately, we are not Jesus, so we don't have that anticipated future of what is going to come. But I want you to know, Jesus knows the future of what is to come. And if you will recognize that he has an unfailing love for you, and his love is not looking back on you. His love is not looking back to tell you how wrong you were. His love is not looking back to make you feel bad and guilty. No, his love is looking to motivate you to faith in him that would lead you to love him unconditionally more than any of these. That is what his love is here for. And he holds that. We hold in this moment right now the opportunity to choose of whether we are going to let ourselves be held disqualified by our past or trust the unfailing love of Jesus to say, you know what, I can and will follow him no matter what. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. No matter what you've done, I want to assure you that the love of Jesus will never fail to meet you where you are. His love will never fail to call you out of that either. He'll never fail to call you out of the old life and into the greatness that he has for you and the purpose that he has for you and the new life. That he's never going to fail to call you out of death and into life, right? His love will still come to us even when he knows everything about us. Even when he holds in one hand all of the bad choices that we've made in our lives, he will still choose to look at the future of faith with him and love us into that faith if we would so choose. He knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway. So what would it look like for you to take one more step with Jesus? Well, maybe your step today is just simply to pray to God and acknowledge to him, Lord, I know I've messed up in my life. I know I've done things that are absolutely in opposition to your word. But Lord, I know I need a Savior, and I believe that Jesus is the only Savior of my life. And Lord, I'm just going to confess to you right now that I'm turning from the old way and I'm looking to you, Lord. And I believe, Jesus, that you are the only way to real life. Maybe that's the step that you need to take today. Maybe you've already prayed that prayer, and it's just a matter of saying that you've never made it public in baptism before, right? Maybe your next step is to just let the cat out of the bag and tell other people, like, yeah, I have given my life to Jesus and I want everybody to know it. And I know some people are kind of, you know, we do these baptism videos and stuff. Some people are a little apprehensive about the videos and everything. You know what? If getting you baptized means it's not a video, I don't even care. I just want to celebrate what Jesus is doing in your life, right? I want to be able to glorify God with the fact that you're following him no matter what. Maybe it's a matter of just recognizing that you have isolated yourself in terms of your faith for so long, and it's really, really important that you get connected to a community group, that you get connected to other believers that you can process God's word with, that you can be real and authentic with, right? Or maybe it's even just a matter of just getting to know a little bit more about the church and connecting with, you know, either free coffee with Naomi or finding a way to serve or whatever that is there. Like I really believe that God is showing you, even now, what that next step for you needs to be. Are you going to be courageous enough to say yes? Are you going to be daring enough to believe that with everything that's going on, he still loves you? And he wants to love you into your faithful future in him. Stand with me if you would. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we do, I just want to encourage you to say yes to him. However God is challenging you, I want you to respond to the unfailing love of Jesus right now. I promise you, he will not let you down. If you take a step of faith, Jesus will meet you there. And he will show you things you've never seen before in your life. But you've got to take that step. Maybe it's a step to an altar of prayer. Maybe you just want to pray with somebody right where you are. However it is, say yes to him. Let him have his way. Lord God, we thank you for this moment. We hold in our hands both our past and our future, God. Help us to choose our future in you, Lord. Thank you for loving us into that faithful future for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.